Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too, because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the law offices of Cooley. This is your host, Herb Cohn, with my co-host, Tom McBride, Cressa, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Mark Haas, AEG, and Catherine Ferguson, Cooley. And we have a great lineup of guests for you on our show today, including Trish Ferrick, president of First Virginia Community Bank, Laura Taylor, president of Silverline Communications, Guy Brammy, from Skelberg Signs, and Michael Sanders, president and CEO of Interactive Government Holdings. Let's get to know our first guest, Trish Ferrick, president of First Virginia Community Bank. Trish, what is First Virginia Community Bank? What are you guys doing?
We're a community bank headquartered in Fairfax, Virginia, serving the banking needs of small to medium-sized businesses in our market.
How large or how small is the bank?
We will hit $1 billion this year, our 10th year of operation, celebrating a couple
wow.
of big milestones.
Yeah, that's a big milestone for a community bank. How many employees are you guys?
We have about 90 employees and growing.
And growing. Where are you from originally?
I am from this area. I grew up in Annandale, Virginia.
Alrighty. How many brothers and sisters?
I'm one of five.
You're one of five. And where are you in the pecking order?
I'm number four.
Number four. So what did growing up four of five, how did that affect you?
We had a busy household. My brothers and sister were all involved in a lot of things. So I liked being a part of a family that was active and involved. It made us all work hard. We were competitive.
Mm-hmm. What's that have to do with what you're doing nowadays, being involved with a family that was active and competitive? What's that have to do with being the president of First Virginia Community Bank?
Well, banking itself is a very competitive market, very competitive industry, so you have to try to be the best at what you do to compete with the other banks.
So when you were a kid, what kind of sports did you play?
I ran track. I played soccer. Mm-hmm. I was a cheerleader.
Mm-hmm. What was the common effect you had on all those teams?
I was often the captain of the team.
You were often the captain? Why were you the captain of the team? Did you threaten everybody or what happened? How'd you get to be the captain of those teams?
I formed relationships and I had really strong, solid friendships and relationships.
What does that have to do with what you're doing nowadays?
We are a very relationship-oriented bank, and that's one of the things that I resonated with when I talked to the CEO and founder of this bank.
What are you talking about?
Community-focused, high-touch, very responsive, customer service focus.
So you're telling me that the relationships you formed as a kid, you know, you brought that into the bank where you liked tight, long-term relationships, and you've got that now in the bank?
I would say yes, and with the employees. We're a close group. Our employee group is like a family.
How about your customers? I mean, you read the newspapers about banks and what they're doing to their customers. It doesn't sound like you're that kind of bank, though.
No, we really are a caring bank. We really work hard with our customers. We try to find the right fit for products, services, whether it's a loan or deposit product. Mm-hmm. We go out of our way. It is 24/7.
You mentioned earlier that your role model was your dad when you were a kid. Why was that?
He could connect with anyone. He made you feel at ease right away. He's just a warm, caring, but very competitive person. He didn't like to lose.
So you also mentioned you wanted to impress him. You wanted to. You think he's proud of you nowadays? Does he know what you're doing nowadays?
He passed away 10 years ago. And I hope he's looking down and pleased and proud. I do hope so.
Why do you think he would be proud?
Because I care about people, and that's one of the things that I took away from him. I work hard. I want to be successful.
How do you think your dad planted the seeds for your relationship with the CEO of the bank, with David Pejor?
I'm sorry.
How do you think your dad planted the seeds for your relationship with the CEO, founder of the bank?
When I met David, our founder, I definitely resonated with his energy, with his commitment to customer service, being community oriented, and I know those are takeaways that my dad raised.
Mm-hmm. Catherine, what do you have? What question you got there?
You know, being captain of your teams, you're working the hardest, you're leading them, you're serving them, and you're in it in the highs and the lows. And how does that translate to what you're doing, not only for the bank and building the organization, but building the businesses of your customers?
It translates because I feel ownership, first of all, for the success of our bank along, and our whole team does. It's a group effort. We work hard together. It is a team. I mean, I guess that's really a takeaway.
We share in the successes
and we share in the failures and we learn from them. That is a big focus of our bank, and one of our core values is if we make a mistake, let's learn from it and let's improve and let's take it a step further.
During your childhood at the dinner table with your siblings, were the conversations always focused around you or the siblings?
It was mainly focused around the sports that my brothers were playing. My dad would ask questions about how practice went, and we'd go into detail about that, and I thought it was great. I'm a big sports fan, and I wanted them to be successful.
Did it help inform you being a listener and supportive of your siblings as well, and does that translate to your role?
I definitely would say that's true. You have to be a good listener. You've got to hear what people are saying. You've got to be responsive to what they need.
Mm-hmm. Mark, what are you thinking?
So as you entered your teen years, you had a sort of an emerging sense of who you were going to be as an adult. How does that vision of yourself at age 12 or 13 compare to how you are now?
I wasn't sure then what I wanted to be when I was older. I knew I wanted to work. My dad always encouraged me to do something, to find an interest, and he told me I could do anything I wanted to do. But I also knew that I wanted a family. I just loved the family I grew up in, and I wanted to emulate that.
What else are you thinking, Mark?
So when you were growing up, you had relationships with your friends and family, close friends and family, and you are a community bank now. How does your relationships and the way you related to and cared about your friends translate into how you deal with your employees now?
I would say I try to listen. I have empathy and compassion, and I think those are important characteristics of anyone who's in a management or leadership role. You have to be able to relate to the people that you work with.
Heather?
Trish, earlier you were telling us that one of the biggest things you learned from your parents was this sort of caring and nurturing, but yet growing up you played a lot of sports, which is tends to be a pretty competitive environment. So how do you balance that caring and nurturing with a competitive spirit in what you do today?
Well, I like to win. That is something for certain. So I think you can be competitive and try to be the best at what you do and try to offer the best and still have a sense of caring and compassion towards the people you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Catherine?
When you were young, what defined you? Not thinking about, you know, necessarily career and who you're going to be, but what would you say, one, two words, you know, was your defined you and is in your DNA to be the best leader that you are?
I would say being a part of a really strong, solid community growing up.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
Grew up and I never moved, stayed and went to the same school. My brothers all and sisters went to the same school. I felt very secure and comfortable in my environment. It was a great community, neighbors, family, friends. It was the perfect childhood.
So you felt very safe as a child.
Definitely.
What's it have to do with what you're doing nowadays?
Well, I work at a bank, and safety and soundness is utmost, highly regulated bank. We have to do things the right way. We have to make sure everything is correct and in place. There's a sense of security there, knowing you can talk to customers and be confident that what you're offering them is good and is the right answer.
It sounds to me like what you felt as a kid, which was the safety, is what you're bringing to your customers and to your team. My bet is your teammates know that they're safe with you. My bet is your customers know that when you tell them something, it's going to happen.
We definitely are committed to delivering on what we promise.
Who taught you that? How'd you learn that? Which adult taught you that as a kid?
I say both my parents.
What do you mean?
Well, they were incredibly supportive, and they were always, they always came through. I mean, I can't think of a time where they weren't there for me when I needed them, my parents.
Your parents. So you know your parent. You knew you could depend on your parents. Uh-huh. Tom, what are you thinking? Mark? Catherine? Heather?
So earlier you talked about how, that balance between competitive and nurturing and caring. Talk to us a little bit about what success looks like for you, because you said earlier, you know, you really like to win. So is success always about winning, or is there something more to success for you?
Success, it is a lot about winning, but it's also about putting your best foot forward, knowing you did everything you could do. You put it all out there. You really did your best. And so if you can walk away knowing you did that and you don't win, you still can hold your head up high and feel good about it.
Is winning, I got to win for somebody's got to lose for me to win, or is winning, we have to win together? What's that look like?
I don't like the other people losing. I don't like to think about that side of it. I really just want to win. I want to work together with my team to win. It's a great feeling, and I feel like we're doing something good.
You want to win with. That's the point, though. I mean, I wish the public could have just seen your body language when you said, I don't want somebody to lose. I want to win with them. What's the website address for this organization?
FVCbank.com.
Let me have that one more time.
FVCbank.com.
We've been speaking with Trish Ferrick, president of First Virginia Community Bank, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Back in a moment, right after this business spotlight.
Whoa.
Wow.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. Call 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092, 800-223-0092. That's 800-223-0092.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-303-3398. 800-303-3398. That's 800-303-3398. Call now. 800-303-3398.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. I'd like to introduce my co-host, Tom McBride Cressa, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Company's Mark Haas AG, and Catherine Ferguson Cooley. I'd like to introduce Laura Taylor, president of Silverline Communications. Laura, what is Silverline Communications?
We're an integrated marketing agency focused on the B2B technology market.
Interesting. How old is this company?
We're 9 years old.
Yeah, tell me a little bit more about what you do. I'm not sure I understand.
Sure. So on any given day, we do everything from public relations to digital to creative services and content development and just about everything else.
You're a newfangled kind of marketing, advertising, PR firm.
We are. We are specific to that.
How young were you when that kind of stuff began to show up in your being 8 to 14 years old?
I think it showed up in the activities that my mom funneled me into, particularly art courses and camp and dance and creative activities that she funneled me into.
Right. So give me a specific example of kind of stuff you were doing 8 to 14 that has anything to do with what you're doing for a living nowadays.
Sure. I think one of the geekier things I did was play Dungeons and Dragons at the local library.
Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah.
What's that have to do with building a marketing firm?
I think it has everything to do with building a marketing
firm
because it has everything to do with imagination and creating a space and environment for your characters and building another.
So what's that have to do with what you do for your clients? I'm trying to figure the connection there.
Yeah, I think it's imagining another world. It's imagining how that looks, how that feels, who the
characters
are.
And that's what you're doing for your clients?
We do. We create a vision for them.
All right.
They don't
But on the other hand, you also are running a business, and this is a substantial business.
Yes.
And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have two. I have an older brother and a younger sister.
So did you learn something about the street and people and how to get along and how to protect yourself and stuff when you were a kid that has anything to do with building a business?
I think as a middle child, I play the traditional role of the peacekeeper. So,
tell us more about what do mom and dad do for a living?
My father was a telecom executive, and my mother worked, she was in advertising sales, so both salespeople, so we had a lot of dinner conversations on that.
Dinner conversations about what?
About sales. We heard about, sales numbers, compensation, advertising, telco.
So do you think that had any effect on you?
I do. I absolutely understood. I guess it was really how tenuous business is and some of those risks that business folks take and how to absorb, each bump in the road.
Interesting. All right, Catherine, what question do you have?
One of the things you said earlier was your parents telling you you could be anything you want and you could do anything you want. What did that mean for you at the time? Mm-hmm. And how has that evolved today that makes you a unique and strong and successful leader? And how does that impact others?
Great question. So I think back then I never felt any different from the boys in the class, which is important for a young woman to feel like there's equality that exists. And I think that moving forward to where I am now, I encourage other young women to, participate in community conversations, participate in business, even young men as well. But I think it's very important to have that nurturing from parents or even members of the community around you so that when you do get to adulthood, you feel confident in the different environments you're going to be in.
Catherine, what else are you thinking?
You know, being an entrepreneur, you see the highs and you see the lows. What was in your childhood to be able to get you through that today, and do so successfully? What were some of the highs and lows growing up?
I think highs and lows growing up are being exposed to the risk associated with business. You know, perhaps a lack of a compensation check coming home on time, or my grandfather's business always being on call. He was an undertaker, so you never know when somebody's gonna, you know, go. So it's always kind of tenuous, you know. And what, so kind of, I learned that.
Wait. Grandpa had his own business?
Yes.
Did you ever talk to him about the business?
I didn't. He passed away when I was young, but my uncles took over the business.
Uh-huh. And that business had an influence on you.
It did, very much. We very much lived and breathed that business.
A funeral business.
Yes.
What did you learn from the funeral business? Has it anything to do with building a marketing firm?
Well, as I think from that business, my uncle was always on the red phone. We had a red phone, and he was always at the ready for customers to call.
So what's that have to do with building a marketing firm?
I think it's all about customer service. I learned from him how to pick up the phone and grab the phone and say, I got what you need, and let's go.
I never realized the connection. Now I do. Mark, what are you thinking?
So when you were growing up, you know, your mom focused on your imagination and doing creative things, and you had a lot of discussions about business in your family. Mm-hmm. What are the events or books or people that resonated most? Was this sort of an emotional reaction or an intellectual reaction?
I think it's more of an emotional reaction. I think that's what marketing is all about. It's really, how do you respond to a brand? How do you respond to a conversation? How do you connect to things beyond, you know, your own personal space? And how do we draw them into you to connect with you as a consumer or a business person? Mm-hmm.
Is there a particular event or comment or book or movie or something that of your childhood that you go back to, you think about a lot?
Oh,
that's really important to you now?
I can't think of anything. You know, I'm going to think of that when I drive home tonight. You know, that's what's going to happen. I do like the movie The Help, though, just more in recent years, as the woman who's the maid tells that very small child, you know, you're important, you matter, that conversation she has. Mm-hmm. That I think of those moments, and I try to push those moments out into the team on a daily basis.
What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean you try to push them out into the team?
I try to verbalize that to other even younger members of my team. You know, you're important, you matter, you have an opinion, and that can go the extra mile with people and really be motivated.
It sounds like you're doing what your mom did to you. You're doing it to the team in terms of motivating and supporting.
Yes, I hope so. I hope so.
Oh, excellent.
Creating Tom. The next generation.
Uh-huh. Tom?
Can you shed some light on risk aversion and what your parents taught you relative to taking risks and if that informs your marketing firm?
Yeah, so it informs everything, actually. My parents were very even-tempered about things that come up. When things would come up at the dinner table, they were very measured in their response to a crisis or to the lack of a comp check or, you know, lack of a sale today or tomorrow. And yeah, they were little bumps in the road, but we always managed to get through them, and they showed us that, you know, it's fine. You can take your time and you'll get through them, and it's not.
To
embrace it. And that's what I do now. It's like, okay, we have an issue. We'll work through it.
Wait a minute. I thought business was blood and guts and suing people and stuff like that. It's not like that?
Well, it is, but I approach it from, you know, the standpoint of how my family raised me. You know, it'll be okay. You know, if we have a bump in the road, it'll be okay.
How'd you get that from your family? How'd you get that?
I think it's just the temperament around the dinner table, the temperament at home. We didn't have a lot of raised voices. I didn't come from a very exciting home in that perspective.
I mean, it sounds like you didn't have a lot of anger at home.
No. Uh-uh. No. You're, very, very loving, like Trisha's family.
I thought business was like, you know, yelling and screaming and stuff like that, but that's not the way you do it. It sounds like
those
you're
are the clients we attract. I think it's karma, you know. You put mojo out that's good, positive energy, you get it back.
How important is intuition in business?
Intuition is everything. I think
I thought business was dollars and cents and bloods, you know, it's like black and white.
No, it's all about EQ. especially in what we do.
What's EQ mean? What's
emotional quotient. It's all about reading a room, understanding how people in the room are looking, acting, feeling, and then we go with it.
Oh, now I understand. What's the website address for Silverline Communications?
TeamSilverline.com.
TeamSilverline.com. We've been speaking with Laura Taylor, president of Silverline Communications, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. Learn more about our executive leaders. Be back in a moment right after this break.
That's great. There's more than one way to invest in your education. Investing in the right products, securities, and real estate generates secure and sound futures. What about an investment that retains its value? Consider college real estate. College real estate can provide housing for students and generate returns for their families. Through this special offer from Austin iLabs, you can download the free workbook from collegerealestate.com to see if this investment is right for you. Go to collegerealestate.com/radio.
A promise was made. A promise that hit the beaches of Normandy. A vow that captured Iwo Jima. A contract that weathered Tet. A pledge that stormed the desert in Iraq. An IOU that braved IEDs in Kandahar. A promise was made to America's veterans. DAV fights to keep that promise so all veterans and their families get the benefits and support they earn. For help, visit DAV.org.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370, 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow!
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now. 800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
If you are struggling to pay or haven't been making your student loan payments, listen carefully to this urgent alert. Have you been out of school for 10 or more years and you're still making your student loan payments? Are your student loans past due or even in default? Can't go back to school because of an old student loan problem? Fast Track Student Loans can get your student loans out of default, stop any wage garnishments, stop collection calls, and stop seizure of your tax refund. Give yourself a break. Stop the stress and get your student loan payments down to as little as $25 a month based on what you can afford to pay. One quick 10-minute call could help you solve your student loan problems. So call right now. Not available in all states. Payments may vary based on income.
800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. 800-685-0129. That's 800-685-0129.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn, with my co-host, Les Small and Vistage, John Chuark, Graybeard Coaching, Will Barrington Harmony Partners, Jessica Kreitzer, Cressa, Karen Addis, Van Epperen, Herb Thomas, Whitefoot Taylor, Preston, and Colleen Gillis. Cooley, like to introduce Michael Sanders, President and CEO of Interactive Government Holdings. Michael, what is Interactive Government Holdings? What do you guys do?
We're a government contracting firm. Mm-hmm. We do program management, grant management, and administrative support for the federal government.
How large or how small is this organization?
Currently, we have about 150 employees in every state, territory, and the District of Columbia, and mm-hmm. we're going to see about $20 million in revenue this year.
How'd you get a job with this company?
Knowing me is a good start.
No, how'd you get a job with the company?
I went on IRS.gov and got a tax ID number.
All right, so you started the business.
Yes, sir.
And where are you from originally?
I was born in Oregon, but I've moved all around the country as I was growing up.
How many different schools did you go to prior to graduating high school?
Seven, I think.
Seven different schools. And didn't you tell me that when you were a kid, something happened when you were about 10 years old?
My parents got divorced.
Yeah. What do you think the effect of that was on you?
At the time I was, I think it, instilled in me, a will to keep going.
What do you mean a will to keep going? What are you talking about?
I think that it was a time when, I was with my mother a lot and she was very hurt. So, it was up to me to sort of keep her in, a good frame of mind.
The theme that kept coming up as we talked in the green room was this sense of responsibility, the sense of being a ringleader of sorts. She spoke of five cousins. Can you talk a little bit about what it was like to be one of those cousins, what your role was leading them?
Yeah, I always used them. They were my workforce. They were my my fighting guys. I mean, whenever we were together, everybody had a job, whether they were two or 10. Whether we were going to build a fort or catch snakes or, try to earn money to buy pizza, whatever it was, we always...
How did this play out? How do you think this influenced your company now and you founding your own company?
I think that I've always been a taskmaster. I'm a person that likes to delegate. I get things done through people.
Do you think that there's somebody in your family that maybe influenced that led you to embody those traits?
Both my grandfather and my father, they're both leaders. They're both in the military. At a very young age, I was able to see my grandfather commanding hundreds of Marines at MCRD San Diego.
And what kind of effect did that have on you?
I never wanted to be one of the guys marching. I always wanted to be one of the guys calling the cadence. So I didn't realize that, you had to start by marching and work your way up. Immediately, I didn't understand that, but... As life tends to hand out lessons, I learned as I grew.
But being a drill instructor, you're pretty much a taskmaster and barking out orders, yet you are CEO of a government contracting company. It's all built on relationships.
Right.
Tell us about that.
It's something that I've had to practice, being less reactive, being more agreeable, thinking a lot more, speaking a lot less. And that's something that I've worked on intentionally over the last year.
Herbert and Jessica.
You started the company in 2006.
Yes.
At a very young age for starting a company that's grown so strongly, so successfully over the past 10 years. You said earlier it was up to you to keep it going.
Right.
What was it like up until that point in 2006? What were you looking for?
I had been... partners with several different people and several businesses that had tried to get off the ground. Some people I found to be immoral or I had business partners that would, want to go to Vegas and not care about payroll, things of that nature. I mean, you run into people, as you go throughout business. And sometimes, not every person is a person that's trustworthy or that wants to do the same right things as you. So lessons learned.
Michael, is your grandfather still around?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. How does he feel about you? Has he been to your office?
No, I haven't seen him in the last few years.
Let's assume that your grandfather, you walked him into your office. How do you think he'd feel?
Probably pretty good.
Why?
They're nice offices. We have...
come on. You know where I'm going. How do you think he'd feel?
I think you'd be... I mean, you know, everybody that's been to our office is extremely proud. We've moved from a one-person, you know, 200-square-foot office, and we're about in about 5,000 square feet
now. So how do you think
now.
Your grandfather would feel?
I'm sure he'd be very proud.
Why?
What have you done? The work that we do, we help veterans, we help guards, we help reservists, people when they're deployed, pre-deployment, during deployment, post-deployment. That's great work. We do a lot of things for veterans. We've been a part of a lot of veterans programs with Veterans Affairs. So, you know, we're doing things that I believe are very helpful to our country and to our, you know, to our national security.
How about Dad? You haven't talked about Dad. Where's Dad fit into this equation?
He's great. I talk to him every day. He still owns a business. He has Rose Hearing in Orange County.
What'd you get from Dad that you bring into work every day?
Oh, I mean, he's the entrepreneur. I mean, he's never had a bad day. Things don't bother him. I mean, all that is stuff that I aspired to in my 20s, but I was just too hot-headed. So now that I'm running in on the end of my 30s, I'm maybe it's just less testosterone. I'm getting a little more patience. So, but he's the guy. I mean, I was rolling around with him when I was, you know, 8, 9, probably even younger than that, selling hearing aids, selling batteries, you know, and it was, you know, early 80s, so you know, sometimes you had to sell batteries to have gas money to get home. So
yeah, where does the sense of right and wrong come from?
I think I've just seen in my life the things that I've witnessed is that, you know, if you're trying to do right things will happen.
Not about making money?
No, I mean, I think that's just a byproduct of doing the right thing.
Speaking of doing the right thing, you spoke about five cousins, grandmother, grandfather, mom, dad, only child. As you look around your family, whose approval means the most to you? Whose approval would most mean you've made it, Michael?
My wife.
Yeah?
Yeah, my wife and children. I just love them to death. They're just the best thing ever. And they're, you know, the reasons why I work hard now. So
that's great.
Mm-hmm. Michael, how young were you when you first realized this sense of right and wrong?
You know, I've never really been accused of this so much, of the right and wrong. As a kid, I was, you know, I was not a right and wrong kid. I was, you know, let's just do whatever I felt and the consequences be damned. And I've always been a more ask for forgiveness than permission type of person. But I feel like in the sense of dealing with people, employees, customers, you know, you have to keep a certain sense of moral, you know, direction. And so if you are just like patience, if you practice it, if you practice doing the right things, then when you get in the situations, it won't be as hard to do it because you've practiced it over and over.
Michael, am I picking up on something where your grandfather is, let's call it command and control?
Mm-hmm.
Your father's more maybe freewheeling entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something that you're reconciling along the way here? Yeah, what kind of lessons have you pulled from that?
You know, I always had a lot of respect and admiration for my grandfather, but one thing that I had a hard time reconciling as I was growing up was his inability to change his principles when the data no longer supported it. He just is 100%. If I believe it now, that's how I'm going to believe till I die. And, you know, I realized that you just couldn't be that way in this world. You know, like Austin said, we just change too much. The world changes too much. It changes every day. So I think that you have to be flexible, but also, you know, rigid in what you believe in order
Jessica,
to keep moving Karen. Forward.
Yeah.
So you talked a lot about how success isn't necessarily tied, you know, it isn't monetary to you. So talk a little bit about what success means to you and what that means to maybe your culture and the organization.
One of the things over the last year that has really meant a lot to me is the ability to spend time with my family. It's the things that come from success, not necessarily monetary. But the freedom that you're able to have when, you know, maybe you're not living paycheck to paycheck or, you know, and within the culture, it feels good that, you know, we sort of, our company grew and we didn't ever buy anything until we needed it. So our overhead was something that we were able to grow into, and that enables you to pay people better, have better benefits, you know, do better matching on 401k and you know, just one little thing. You know, if you're matching 4% over 3% on somebody, that makes a big difference. And, you know, if you pay 90% of somebody's health care versus, you know, 50%, it makes a difference to people, especially now when so many things are unsure. If you could be stable.
Liz,
and,
John?
Yeah, I'm just kind of wondering, you've got this sense of responsibility, you've got this beautiful organization you've created, and you've got this wonderful family that you're really proud of and obviously moves you. What's the lesson you want your kids to take away from you?
Anything's possible.
Anything's possible.
Mm. Yeah. John?
Michael, when you were a kid, you were always organizing the other kids and exerting influence over them. Who organizes and controls things at home?
My wife, 100%, all the time. Yeah, she does. Yeah, I have. It's her domain. She's the queen of the castle. So I get stuff done at work.
She's calling the cadence.
That's right. She's calling the cadence at home. And you know, our kids are real high energy. They're not big sleepers. So you know, it's her job to get them worn out every single day, and she does it admirably.
Michael, what's the website address for Interactive Government Holdings?
It's interactivegov.com.
Interactivegov.com. We speak with Michael Sanders, President and CEO of Interactive Government Holdings, here on Executive Leaders Radio with my co-hosts Les Mullen-Bistage, John Shuar, Graybeard Coaching, Bill Burrington, Harmony Partners, Jessica Kreitzer-Kressa, Karen Addis Van Epperen, Herb Thomas, wife for Taylor Preston, and Colleen Gillis. Cool. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. That's executiveleadersradio.com. We will be back in a moment right after this business spotlight.
Nice. Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible, too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Guy Brahmi, who is a principal at an organization known as Gelberg Signs. Guy, what is Gelberg Signs?
Gelberg Signs is a full-service sign company, designing, fabricating, installing, and servicing just about every type of sign.
And how large or how small is this organization?
We have roughly 100 employees. We should hit about $13 million this year. We've got 50,000 square feet.
How old is the business?
Been around since 1941.
Mm-hmm. Where were your parents from?
Parents were from Tunisia.
Tunisia. When did they come to the United States?
1959.
So they came to the United States, your parents, in 1959. And how do you think that affected you and the business?
When they came here, it was us. So we had a small family. It was my immediate family and an uncle. So we were a very close-knit family.
What do you mean it was us? What are you talking about? You came to a big country.
Well, when they came here, they didn't speak English. I was born here, but my two brothers, who are my partners in business, with them, it was really just the five of us in our household and one uncle.
And what ended up happening when your father told his family that there's an opportunity of buying this business? What was the reaction of everybody?
Well, we saw it as a great opportunity to get in business together.
No. Usually what happens is everybody says, I don't really care. I don't want to work with you. I don't like you. What happened with your family?
We got together and we decided it would be a great opportunity.
who decided that? What happened there?
It was really a family decision. So literally over the dinner table.
Over the dinner table, your father, do you remember your father mentioning this to you?
Absolutely.
Do you remember your reaction, your emotional feeling at that time?
It was excitement.
Excitement. How young were you when you started making money?
About 8 years old.
And what was it you were doing?
Delivering newspapers, helping my brother with his paper route.
Oh, so you're used to working with the family. And how long did you have that newspaper route for?
Well, once my brother gave it up, I continued it until I worked about 5 years delivering newspapers.
That's sort of strange because most kids that have a newspaper route do it for 3 weeks or maybe a year. You did it for a number of years. So your nature is to really get involved with the family because you enjoy doing this with your brother and then do it for a long period of time. Is that parallel what you're doing in your business career?
I'd say absolutely. I enjoy going to work every day. I think every problem that's presented to you can be solved with just hard work and effort. And I get a great deal of satisfaction of just having a problem presented and overcoming it with effort.
Whether in business or in life, what you know sums up your life motto?
Right. Well, I'll go back to something I said. That is effort. The joy I receive in work is seeing the effort pay off. Hard work, coming in every day, I get to work every morning at 5:30 in the morning. I saw my father do that. I saw my father come home for dinner. His one rule in the house was be home for dinner. That's the rule in my house.
Mm. Tom?
Knowing that, how do you balance the rest of your life, and what was the model at home that empowered you?
Sure. So how does it balance now?
Yeah, in terms of balance work, and are you 24/7 with work?
No, I wish it was 20. I'm glad it's not 24/7, but we have an excellent balance. I've got two kids. They're both quite involved in sports, as I was when I was a kid. Well, so there was a lot of good dinner conversation.
What's the similarity between being a principal in this business and being a dad, the similarity?
I think it's a matter of just showing the kids how hard work, how effort pays off.
Mark?
So you said you grew up, you had a close relationship with your family and your brothers. Everybody establishes a sort of a pecking order or something and a particular role. How has that role changed working with your brothers now, if it has?
Certainly when I came into the business, I was the baby in the bunch. Now we certainly divide our responsibilities equally. Mm-hmm. And we certainly take the appreciation that there's always two other people in the building that care as much as I would.
Hmm. It's really about the team. It's about us. What do you do to enjoy yourself? What do you enjoy?
I'm a coach of my son's baseball team. I play a little golf and love spending the weekends with the family.
At home, who wears the pants in the family?
Definitely my wife.
Is she really?
Absolutely.
So you're very comfortable, trusting. You feel safe with family members. Do you have close friends?
I do.
Uh-huh. Does mom ever come into work?
She used to. She doesn't any longer, but she did come in for probably about 10, 15 years.
How do you think she felt coming into the office and watching what her kids did?
I know she felt great about it. That was probably one of the biggest joys of going to work with our family, seeing the joy on my parents' face.
Huh. What was one of the biggest challenges you can remember from your youth interacting with your siblings?
We have a big age difference. My oldest brother is 12 years older, and the one next closest is 4 years older. So we didn't quite have the typical dynamics of the family.
Interesting.
In that sense, the challenges are always with the idea that you can say what you want to your to your family,
excellent,
and that can sometimes be a great thing in business,
excellent,
but sometimes you have to have some thick skin.
Mm-hmm. Mark?
Who had the biggest influence on you growing up?
I would say probably I remember having a history teacher. I just loved his approach to teaching the class and treating every student like they were an adult.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Well, just that. It was a respect. Being in a classroom, I think it was 10th grade, normally being treated like just another kid and growing up in school, seeing someone treat everyone in the class like they were an adult, like they had something important to give. I just remember that standing.
So as opposed to yelling and screaming at everybody, he did what?
Good point. He was at a calm demeanor, spoke to you like you were an adult.
So he made you feel important. He made you feel, you felt responsible.
Absolutely. He appreciated hearing your opinion.
Do you do that with your team?
Absolutely.
What do you mean?
We have an open door policy in our office, and I like to say I'm a part-time psychiatrist in the office as well.
So you really have a sense of the other team. You want that team's input. You're not the smartest guy on the team then.
Oh, by far not.
Did I embarrass you by saying that?
No. You're very accurate. I approach every situation thinking that I'm probably not the smartest person in the room. And I think that's actually something I've told my kids
that's too.
Never walk into a room thinking you're smart.
Yeah, because that means you keep smart people around you. What's the website address of this organization?
GelbergSigns.com.
GelbergSigns.com. We've been speaking with Guy Brahmi, who's the principal of Gelberg Signs here on Executive Leaders Radio, as well as we've had the opportunity of speaking with Trish Furick, president of First Virginia Community Bank, Laura Taylor, president of Silverline Communications, Guy Brahmi, principal of Gelberg Signs, and Michael Sanders, president and CEO of Interactive Government Holdings. This is your host, Herb Cohen. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Tom McBride, Cressa, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Mark Haas, AEG, and Catherine Ferguson Cooley for giving me a hand structuring the questions they'll be providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. That's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. And have a nice day, and thank you for joining us today. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.